Set against a cloudy sky, a gold shield with the letters WB in its center. Warner Brothers Pictures, an AOL Time Warner company. Against a black background, a series of six stacked silver V-shapes lit from behind by a bright white light. Village Roadshow Pictures. White credits appear on a black background. Warner Brothers Pictures presents in association with Village Roadshow Pictures and MPV Entertainment. A Baltimore Spring Creek Pictures Face Tribeca production. A Harold Ramis film. Robert De Niro, Billy Crystal, Lisa Kudrow, Joe Vitarelli. The dark background brightens, illuminating a mural on a wall depicting a dusky landscape. A lake with a shaft of silvery moonlight reflected on its surface, and branches of an overhanging tree silhouetted against a moody sky. Analyze that. The muted red velvet tones of a pole dancing club. On a small stage, a busty blonde in a skimpy blue bikini swings her hips seductively. Two men sit at a bar. One's a thick-set man with dark hair. The other, a leaner, younger, hard-faced man in a grey suit.
How did he know about the money? And how did he know that Tony Sisko got popped? We didn't find out about it till this morning.
I don't know.
It was Peasy. Gotta be. He hates your fucking guts.
I don't know.
What is so hard to understand here? You said yourself Peasy was a mamaluke and he couldn't be trusted. Now all of a sudden you got a soft spot for this guy.
I just don't think it was him.
Okay, I'll buy it. If not Peasy, then who? Who? Tell me.
The hard-faced man grabs the other guy's head.
I think it was you, Ducks.
He lets him go.
You gotta be kidding.
A man appears with a shotgun.
Caesar, you know me. What kind of fucking idiot would I have to be to try that shit with you?
A dead fucking idiot.
Come on, Caesar. Caesar! Caesar!
Shotgun muzzles flash as Caesar's three henchmen open fire on Ducks. Credits on a TV screen. Little Caesar, starring Anthony Bella, written, produced and directed by Raoul Berman. The TV plays to a crowded prison recreation room. A dark-haired inmate leans to a skinny companion.
Change the channel.
The skinny guy changes the channel.
What are you doing, asshole?
The well-groomed, dark-haired guy glares at the tattooed heckler.
Mr. Vitti, didn't mean any disrespect.
Middle-aged, handsome Paul Vitti turns his eyes back to the screen.
Forget about it.
Punks.
Oh, let them watch what they want. I'm going to bed.
All right, good night, Paul.
Good night.
All right, what do you want to
go? No, Caesar!
Paul wanders out. A burly prisoner appears.
What's up?
They're transferring me.
You asked to be transferred?
Not me.
What's up?
I don't know.
Anyway, thanks for looking out for me, Paul. I'll see you around.
Sure.
The burly prisoner slopes off. A guard follows. Thoughtful Paul watches them go. Nighttime. Shadows darken a long prison corridor and the now quiet cells that line one side of it. A prison guard saunters the length of the corridor, eyes flicking into each cell as he passes. He stops outside a cell, pulls a silenced pistol from his pocket and shoots through the bars at a blanketed shape in the bed. The guard walks away. Paul Vitti's huddled in a fetal position under the bed. A flower-draped coffin lies at the front of a packed synagogue. A rabbi speaks to the congregation.
Sobel was a man of rigorous belief and unflinching honesty. A patriarch with an almost biblical sense of integrity and conviction. A man of faith and courage, spirit and humor. A rock and a tree. A good friend who will be deeply missed. And now I'd like to call on Isaac's son, Dr. Ben Sobel, who would like to say a few words.
The bearded, bespectacled Dr. Ben Sobel exchanges a look with his 30-something blonde wife. He rises, steps up to the lectern, and shakes the rabbi's hand, who sits behind him.
It's not easy for me to talk about my father, because in a sense I'm talking about two people. One is the public, Isaac Sobel, the eminent psychotherapist and popular author known to millions of readers across the world. The second is the private man, my father. Dad.
A senior lady smiles.
Those of you who knew him well I know our family. Well, I don't have to tell you. He was a psychotic mind-fucking prick. An arrogant, ego-inflated son of a bitch. I wish you were alive so I could kill you. Rotten hell!
Seated, Ben's daydreaming.
I'd like to call on Isaac's son, Dr. Ben Sobel, who would like to say a few words.
The whole congregation fumble for their cell phones.
Who the hell would have a cell phone?
Including the rabbi.
Answer it before they...
Ben answers.
Guess who, you fuck?
I have to take this.
What?
I'm sorry, it's mine. I have to take this. Yes.
I left 3 fucking messages. You don't call me back?
This is not a very good time.
Not a good time? Let me explain something to you. I'm in fucking hell right now. This is not a good time.
This is a very bad time. You see, my father died. I have to go.
Don't you hang up on me, you.
Call me back.
Stop, they're trying to kill me.
Ben hangs up. Paul Vitti, on a prison payphone, stares aghast. Later, unshaven, Paul removes a tray of food from a service hatch in the mess hall and shuffles to a table. At another, a tough bruiser receives a nod from the guard who shot at Paul's bed. The bruiser shouts over to Paul.
Hey, Fredo. Yeah, you, Guido. Come over here. I've got something to show you.
A flick knife. Paul floors him with the tray. A guard raises the alarm.
When you're a jet all the way from your first cigarette to your last dying day.
Guards rush in as Paul mounts a table and sings. CCTV footage captures his performance.
Tonight won't be just any night. Tonight there will be no morning sky. Tonight!
Paul hurls himself onto the guards who carry him off. A black stretch limo pulls up in the driveway of a smart suburban clapboard house. Ben, wife Laura, and bulky teenage son Michael, still in black, are shown from the vehicle and head for the veranda. Impish-faced Ben, who has dark curly hair, fishes around for his keys.
I can't believe he's gone.
I can't believe what you said about him. Cold and withholding? You had to tell everybody?
Why don't you just take a swing at the casket?
All right, I might have strayed from my notes just a little bit.
I'm grieving. And it's a big loss, and grief is a process. Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Mr. and Ms. Sobel, I'm sorry, your housekeeper let us in. I'm Agent Miller, this is Special Agent Cerrone, Federal Bureau of Investigation. We'd just like to ask you a few questions,
well,
if we could.
Can I ask what this is about? We've just come from a funeral.
We know this is a difficult time for you. It'll only take a minute.
Sure. Sit down.
They sit.
Sorry about your father.
Thank you very much. It's, very, very difficult. I'm gonna miss him terribly.
Laura glares at him.
There were issues. I mean, like there are in any father and son, you know, relationship. He wasn't a very warm man.
Ben?
Yeah?
Once today? Enough?
Okay, no, I'm just saying that even so, he was a great, great legs man.
Dr. Sobel, you received a call this morning from Paul Vitti.
Why would you say that I got a call from Paul Vitti?
Because we monitor and record all his phone calls from Sing Sing?
Then yes, I did.
That was him on the phone?
Yes.
Why didn't you tell me?
Well, talk about withholding.
Michael.
Well, you told her at the drop of a hat.
Well, she's in the FBI. I mean, she needs to know this information.
Oh, okay, I see. Okay, and I don't need to know these things.
I didn't say that. Don't tell Laura. She can't possibly handle a phone call. Did I say that?
You folks need a minute?
No, we're fine.
Yeah, we're phenomenal. Listen, I'm gonna go to the kitchen. Just 2 words of advice as one professional woman to another. Pantsuit.
Laura flounces out and Michael gasps.
She's grieving. You know, it's a process.
Vitti?
We were involved in some organized crime activity a few years ago. I mean, I wasn't, you know, involved. He was involved, but I was treating him therapeutically at the time, and then some people tried to kill us. It was really nothing.
Well, shortly after you two spoke, you seemed to have some kind of breakdown.
Really? What kind of breakdown?
I think you'd better go up there and see for yourself.
Curtains open, revealing Paul in a padded cell.
Well, so pretty. I feel pretty and witty and bright, and I pity any girl with me tonight.
I'm treating with Dorazine, 300 milligrams BID. Seems to keep him pretty calm.
Mm.
That would keep the Middle East pretty calm.
Paul's still singing.
Can I just keep singing West Side Story songs?
Yeah. Tonight, Maria, the balcony scene. You should get him to do Officer Krupke. It's really good.
Maria. Ben, with a visitor's badge on, enters the cell cautiously.
Maria! Maria!
Paul?
Maria!
Paul, it's me, Dr. Sobel.
Maria!
Paul turns.
Tony?
Paul throws his arms out wide.
Maria! Oh, Maria! Oh, my God! Thank God you've come!
Yes.
You've got to get me out of here!
Okay, Tony.
You promise?
I promise.
Teodoro.
Teodoro, what are you telling me?
Later, Ben prods and pokes Paul's inert face.
It's Ben. He sings for a while, and then he goes completely catatonic.
Mm-hmm. And you did a neurological workup?
Yep, no tumors, no seizures, no sign of stroke.
Paul, if you're faking Paul, I'm gonna know.
He squeezes Paul's cheeks, then slaps him.
When I was a resident, we used to play with the catatonics.
Woo, woo, woo!
Paul doesn't respond.
Well, I don't think he's faking. I don't think he's smart enough. Street smart, oh yeah. But we're talking about an IQ just north of a bedroom slipper.
Yeah!
Paul remains unresponsive.
So, if he is truly catatonic, if I stuck him with this needle, this is just plain saline, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he shouldn't feel a thing, right?
He plunges the needle in Paul's leg. The prison doc winces.
That's gotta hurt.
Paul stays still.
No reaction at all. When it comes out of this, I want to do some neuropsychological testing, okay?
Sure.
Later on, in a cell...
Paul, I'm gonna give you some tests to assess your mental condition, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, do I have your consent to share the results of the test?
Mommy's mad at me because I made a boom on a rug.
Paul grins.
I'm going to take that as a yes.
Good.
Okay. Huh. Paul, I have 10 cards, each with a picture of an inkblot on it. Okay? Here's the first card. Now look at it and tell me what you see.
I see a bat. A bat or a weasel.
A bat or a weasel?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bat. Bat weasel.
Huh. Do you see anything else?
He points at it.
Just a pussy with teeth.
He sticks his jaw out.
Pussy with teeth.
Yeah.
Ben smiles and nods. A picture card shows a grid divided into color-coded squares. Paul, copying the picture, uses red, yellow, and green cubes, deftly sliding the last two cubes into position, exactly replicating the grid.
Excellent, Paul. 1 hour and 12 minutes. All right, Paul, I want you to take a look at this picture and tell me what's happening.
The picture got a picture of a guy, he's a nice, hard-working fella, comes home, sees his wife is in bed with a midget, and she's been fucking him while he's out of town, you know.
So she's having intercourse...
with a midget!
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Doesn't matter who they know downtown, Jerry. We have Washington behind us on this, so you tell them they got no leverage.
Mr. Right, Chapin?
Great. Come in. Come in. All right.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben Sobel.
Hi, Dr. Sobel. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So, what have we got?
Okay. Based on his symptoms and his test results, I would call it brief psychotic disorder. And if it persists, schizophreniform disorder, and Dr. Kassam, the psychiatrist at Sing Sing, concurs with the diagnosis.
Huh. So he's crazy?
Not crazy, no. At least not permanently. See, in certain people, prolonged exposure to extremely stressful situations, mm-hmm. like soldiers in combat, for instance, or disaster victims, or a hostage, can produce a temporary psychotic state.
How temporary?
A day, a week, a month, if the precipitating stresses are removed.
Which means he's not going to get any better as long as he's still in the can, right?
He could conceivably get worse. Right now, he thinks that somebody's trying to kill him. And he could deteriorate to the point where he's permanently schizophrenic.
Then I'd say he's got a real problem because he goes before the parole board in 4 weeks.
Would they actually release him?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they'll want to release a major mafia figure who's now certifiably deranged on top of it.
Well, why don't they release him to a halfway house or a treatment center where he could get the care that he needs? Based on my earlier work with him, I don't think he's dangerous, and I think he's making a strong effort to reform himself.
Attorney Chapin fingers his lips thoughtfully.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to release him into your custody.
Mine? Oh, no. No, no, I couldn't. No, no, no. Mr. Chapin, thank you anyway. This is a very bad time for me. See, my father just died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'm grieving. It's a process. And I have a bulging disc in my neck. And out of the blue, I have this burning sensation when I urinate.
Yeah, I've had that.
And we're redecorating, which is a nightmare. There are swatches
Listen,
all over
do you want to see him killed in prison?
No.
You want to see him sent to a facility for the criminally insane?
Of course not.
Then he's all yours.
No, you don't understand. I told my son we couldn't have a dog. I'm going to bring home Paul Vitti.
No, I'm going to talk to the Bureau of Prisons and get you certified as a temporary federal institution.
I can't be in institutions. I've worked in the suburbs. I handle neurotic soccer moms and alcoholic Gentiles.
You have got 30 days to get him into shape for his parole hearing. That means sane, sober, and gainfully employed. Now, I'm warning you, Doctor. If he screws up in any way, if he flees, or if I find out this was all just a setup to get him back on the street, I will hold you totally responsible, and you will pay dearly. You'll be stripped of your license, and you will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Are we clear?
Yes.
Do you want him or not?
Ben stares at the floor, then he looks Chapin square in the face.
Yes.
Good choice. We'll be in touch.
Paul leaves prison.
Hi, how are you? Hey.
Doctor, yeah. Sign here and here, please.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay.
Ben drives his big silver Jeep from the prison with Paul chattering in the passenger seat. Paul shakily puts his belongings onto the rear seat, then suddenly rounds on the smiling Ben.
Fucking piece of shit! I'm calling you to tell you somebody's trying to kill me and you fucking hang up on me!
I knew it! I knew it! You fake!
Where do you get off sticking me with that fucking needle?
You used me to get you out of prison.
It took you long enough. I'm singing West Side Story for 3 fucking days. I'm half a fag already. What the fuck were you doing?
I was in a funeral home!
What's that got to do with somebody trying to kill me in jail? You're my doctor!
My father died.
So? You know, with you, it's always me, 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 me. He's dead, so get over it. That's life.
Are you hearing this? Are you hearing you?
All right. I'm deeply sorry for your loss, okay?
Yeah, I can see how touched you are. Hey, all right. Who's after you?
Well, you tell me. Could be my old crew. Could be the Ragazzis, Lou the Wrench.
Lou the Wrench?
Yeah.
Why the Wrench?
Hey, the guy's a maniac. He twisted some guy's head off once.
Off?
Off. Totally. Off. So the feds are putting a lot of pressure on everybody. All the families are fighting each other. What's left of them? It's like the fall of the Roman Empire. World War III out there.
What does this have to do with you?
They knew I was getting out soon, so the last thing they want to do is see me getting into it on either side. So
why don't you just explain to them that you're out of it now and that you're starting a new life?
You know, that's a really imaginative thought. I wish I could have thought of that. You know, maybe they would have thrown a party for me and given me a brand new gold watch. What, are you kidding me? Believe me, nobody's happy that I'm getting out. Nobody.
Ben parks his Jeep in the drive, beside a pink blossom tree on the landscaped lawn. Ben steps from the vehicle and heads for the passenger door as Paul steps out.
Hey, want to grab your stuff?
No, leave in the car. Jelly's going to pick me up in an hour.
Oh, no, Paul, I don't think you understand. You're in my custody. You stay here. Therapy every day. You can't leave without permission.
You got to be fucking kidding me. Come
Are
on.
Are you coming in, or do I have to make a phone call?
Paul frowns.
Some fucking life this is going to be. Get my bags.
Attorney Chapin's office.
You really think he's crazy? Don't you want to get a second opinion?
If he thinks I think he's crazy, then he's crazier than I think he is. Locked up, he's of absolutely no use to us. But back on the street, Vitti still has enough juice to be a threat to both families. It's like throwing gasoline on a fire.
That's if he goes back to his old life.
People like Paul Vitti don't change. He's been a menace to society since he was 12 years old. Being a criminal is all he knows.
He's gonna head straight back to trouble. Then all we have to do is sit back and pick up the pieces.
We need to stay on Vitti.
How could you? How could you bring him here, that mobster, in my house eating off of my dishes? Ew!
It's not like I had a lot of choice.
Oh, it's a new law? You have to bring home a gangster?
He's in my custody. I am a temporary federal institution.
Oh, why couldn't he just go home?
Because his wife and his family are in Ohio.
Oh, sure, yeah, everybody gets to go to Ohio except me.
You want to go to Ohio?
That's not the... Shut up!
Listen, his life was threatened, so he didn't want to endanger his family.
Oh, how thoughtful. But it's okay to endanger our family?
Look, I know this is a terrible imposition, but it's not like I wanted him here.
Well, you didn't want him, and I didn't want him, but here he is. Here he is. Hey, you.
Coffee.
What?
Somebody said something about coffee.
Oh, yeah, that was you. You said you wanted some.
So? What's the holdup?
Paul smirks.
Why don't you make your friend some coffee? I'm gonna take a long bath and hopefully drown.
She leaves.
Excuse her, usually she is a wonderful hostess. But she's grieving. It's a process.
Paul sidles over.
Listen, I got a friend coming over, so I don't want you to be surprised.
What kind of friend? Because if it's the wrench or the pliers or any kind of tool...
No, it's a personal thing, you know.
Oh, yeah? They won't be staying late, will they?
Are you that fucking pussy whipped?
Listen, there's nothing to do with Laura.
I just heard her busting your balls. What are you talking about?
We were having a disagreement, yes, but a certain amount of conflict is very normal in a marriage.
Or
what?
Your pussy whip.
Paul, I am not...
When the coffee's ready, I'll be upstairs. Good night, Whippy.
Paul heads off. Later that night, a grumpy-looking Laura and Ben are awake in bed, listening. Laura lies back, arms folded. Ben consults a watch.
40 minutes.
Oh. How long are you gonna let them go on?
Let them? How much longer can it go on? Another 5 minutes, I'll break it up or I'll call the Guinness Book of Records.
Oh God. They strain to hear.
Give me a break. She's faking.
Laura shakes her head.
Nobody sounds like that.
Michael pokes a microphone out of his bedroom door. Agents Miller and Cerrone are in a car listening on headphones.
Come on, nobody sounds like that.
I don't know.
Ben knocks on Paul's door.
Yeah. Paul, yeah. I have to talk to you, please. I have to talk to you.
Talk later.
Now.
Paul's in a dressing gown. A lady in a pink slip's on his bed.
Yeah. I have a 17-year-old son.
Paul glances at the woman, then shrugs.
That's not what I'm talking about. I need to speak to you.
Well, actually, I'm right in the middle of somebody. Can't you see?
No. Paul, now. And miss, there's no smoking in my house. Thank you.
Fag in mouth, the lady glances over. Downstairs.
What do you think you're doing?
Minding my own fucking business, like you should be doing.
It's a little difficult to do with the vagina monologues going on in the guest room.
Hey, Doc, I've been in a camp for 2.5 fucking years. What am I supposed to do?
Go to a hotel.
That's what I wanted to do. You told me I can't. You said it's either here or Sing Sing. You
Paul,
told me
I'm
that.
I'm not trying to punish you, but I do have some responsibilities. Plus, I thought you might appreciate having a nice home-cooked meal after being in prison for so long.
Yeah, that's what I've been jerking off to for the last 850 nights in a row. A fucking home-cooked meal. Oh, tuna casserole!
All right, Paul.
Doc.
The girl's gotta go.
The girl?
Yeah.
You know, I bet you're jealous.
Oh, yes, I'm very... And what might I be jealous of?
I don't know. I didn't hear nothing coming out in your room.
Oh, we don't think it's necessary to wake the neighbors every time we have sex.
Maybe if you're quiet enough, you could do it without even waking up your wife.
Paul, that is not funny. What is that?
I told her if I wasn't back in 2 minutes to start without me. I gotta go.
This is not a good start, Paul.
It was for me till you knocked on my door.
Paul heads upstairs. Daytime, a Sobel family gathering's underway. Laura brings a plate of food to a senior lady.
Hi, Esther. Oh, thank you. And again, I'm so sorry we had to put you up at a hotel. We would have loved to have you stay here with us, but we had an unexpected house guest.
His father always had room for us.
Paul chases his mistress downstairs.
Go on, get out of here, you fucking pain in the ass! You crazy pain in the ass! Get the fuck out of here!
You!
Go ahead, go back to turning tricks at old folk and you pain in the ass!
To the guests.
Hey, food.
Adjusting his gown, Paul exposes himself.
Well, what are you doing?
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for something to eat over here. This is all you got? What do you have to fuck to get some bacon around here?
An older lady.
Oh, he's new in town, so let's go in the office. I'll make him a nice
plate. What are you doing? What's in the office?
Well, we're gonna go to the office and talk a little first.
In the office.
What's it with your family? They tend to overreact a little bit. You know?
I know. All you did was flash everybody in the dining room.
Yeah, but look at some of them broads. They ain't seen the old sores each for a long time. It's good for them.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Well, when the paramedics revive my Aunt Golda, be sure to ask her. Okay. Sit down.
Paul flops onto Ben's sofa, legs apart.
Paul, do you mind?
Paul takes a peek.
I think we've seen enough of the old sausage for one day. Thank you. So, what are you going to do, Paul?
First of all, I'm gonna find out who's trying to kill me. I'm a target. They could shoot through that window right behind me over here and blow my fucking head off. Then what?
So, I gotta deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a priority. I understand that. I'm talking about a job, a work. I mean, there's gotta be something that you like to do.
Yeah, well, I like hitting guys over the head with a baseball bat. That's always good.
So, sporting goods?
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting.
Ben taps his chair. Who are you? Paul grimaces.
I just want to know how you see yourself.
I'm Paul Vitti. I'm the boss.
The boss of what? The boss of Jelly? Of course, you're not the boss of me. So what are you the boss of?
Paul grins broadly, wagging his finger at Ben.
I see what you're doing, you. I see. I get it.
What am I doing, Paul?
You're pissing me off. That's what you're doing. Look at me. I'm getting anxious now. I'm starting to get anxious.
Well, it's very understandable that you're anxious. I mean, you spent your whole life becoming something that you were, and now you can't be that anymore, so it's scary. I mean, if you're not Paul Vitti, the boss, who are you? All right, let me ask you this way. When you were a kid, okay, what did you want to be?
I was a kid. Who remembers that shit?
I know, but you had to want to be something. Did you want to be a baseball player?
Nah.
A fireman? An astronaut.
Bah.
Come on. What did you want to be?
Paul thinks, then wrinkles his face.
That was stupid.
It's not stupid, Paul. Come on, what are you afraid to tell me?
Yeah, I'm afraid.
So, tell me. I mean, I'm not here to judge you. What did you want to be?
There was one time when I was real, you know, when I was about maybe six and a half, seven. Right in there, mm-hmm. in that time.
Paul recalls a little boy in a cowboy hat.
That I wanted to be a, for a second, you know, mm-hmm. like a little kid.
What?
Maybe, yeah, no, it's a kid, you know, little kid.
What? Tell me.
I wanted to be a cowboy.
Paul nods.
A cowboy, really?
Would you believe that?
Well, that's interesting. How did that start?
I was watching television with my mother, father, you know, we watched the those cowboy shows.
Mm-hmm.
And my...
He recalls being hugged by his father.
My father got me the whole outfit.
Mm-hmm.
He got me a 10-gallon white hat, the boots, the spurs, the cap guns, the whole bit. And then he took me upstate to my uncle's farm and led me around on this little pony.
Mm-hmm.
And there was cows up there and all that stuff. It was like, to me, the Wild West. And it was all, you know, yippee-ki-yay and all that stuff. You happy now?
So what happened?
I don't know what happened.
Why didn't you try to become a cowboy?
I was in East Harlem. I joined a street gang when I was 12 years old. What was I supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't I become a cowboy?
Something else happened when you were 12, didn't it? That was very difficult for you.
Yeah.
That's when your father was murdered.
Yeah, I think about it every day.
Mm-hmm.
What's that got to do with anything?
I think it has a lot to do with things. I think it's very interesting, Paul, because your father was the one who got you the white hat. He was in the mob, but yet he wanted you to be a hero.
Yeah, he did.
Your father wanted you to have a better life than he did, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He wanted me to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even go to high school, Ollie.
Well, that's because he had died and he wasn't around to guide you.
Paul nods.
Hey, Paul, before you said I'm Paul Vitti the boss, but when I look at you, I see Paul Vitti, the 12-year-old kid, who's scared and confused with a lot of hard choices to make.
Cocking his head, Paul wags his finger at Ben and smiles at him.
Yo. Yo. You're good, yo.
No, Paul.
Nah, you're good. You're better than
it's
good.
It's just the beginning, Paul.
You're real good. You made Paul, me realize just that I'm a little fucking kid, that's all I wanted, and that I never could figure it out with my father. That's great.
But you have
to... It's all clear to me now. No choices, no things, no beginnings. I'm ready. I'm here, front and center. Let's go.
Paul, there's somebody that I work with. He's a career counselor.
Yeah.
He places people in jobs. He's really
I'm
excellent.
I'm ready. Sign me up. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to jump in with both feet.
That's great, Paul.
How about that? I'm ready. Down!
Paul ducks. Outside, a suited fat guy chucks something through the window.
Hi, Doc.
Jelly, what are you doing here?
Hey, Doc. It's been a while, eh?
I thought you were in prison.
You would appear not.
Well, how did you get out?
A new trial. Turns out the evidence in my first trial was, tainted.
Oh, I see.
Anyway, two of the witnesses decided not to testify, and the third guy, he committed suicide.
Oh, how?
He stabbed himself in the back four times and threw himself off a bridge. Very unfortunate.
Paul and Jelly arrive outside an Italian cafe. As they enter, the punters get to their feet and welcome them. Paul wears shades. He's greeted with hugs and kisses from the swarthy-looking Italian men. Dark-haired, middle-aged Mazziello is the last up to hug him.
Good to have you back. We're in a war, Paul. It's not safe out there. There are guys just walking all over us. We need you, Paul.
You know, Sally, I'm out of it. It's over for me. I don't do this no more.
The family needs you, Paul. What are you talking about? No one did the big jobs like you. Yeah, France, they're still talking about it. Paul, think about it. For me.
I'll think about it.
Okay. Oh, come on. What's this, a fucking funeral? You just got out of college, for Christ's sakes. Let's have a party.
I won't drink, and then I gotta go see the boss.
Paul's limo pulls up in a driveway outside an elegant country house. Paul and Jelly wait at the front door. A shifty-looking young man with cropped black hair opens up.
Yeah, what? That's how you answer the door, you? Yeah, what?
You got a problem with that?
Paul punches.
Oh, don't bother getting up on our account.
Paul saunters into the large kitchen where a brassy platinum blonde whisks a dessert.
What a nice surprise.
Yeah, Patty, how's it going?
It's good. Come here, you. Give me a kiss. Get over here. Come on. What did I do? What did I do that you made of me? Come on.
They hug.
All right.
Her hug turns into a frisk for weapons.
You missed the spot.
You can't be too careful.
Hey, I know. Sorry to hear about Carmine. He was a good man.
Yeah, you know. I lived with someone for 21 years, then one day they're pulling his torso out of the river. It's hard.
Yeah, I'll bet, especially since the talk was that you were the one that put him there.
That's why I try not to gossip, Paul. It's ugly.
Yeah, it is.
Just a sec. Michelle, Teresa, it's 10:30. Stop fucking around and get ready for ballet! It's so hard being a single parent and a career woman.
Oh, yeah.
For instance, you know, a lot of people are saying now that you're out, you know, that you're going to try and take the family back from me. I said, no. No, Paul would never do that to me.
Never. Not me.
Okay. So, you look good. What, have you been working out?
Yeah, I've been working out. Who's been trying to kill me? You got any ideas about that?
Oh, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, Paul, and you know nobody's going to be safe unless we can end this thing with the ragazzis.
So you had nothing to do with it?
Paul, calm down. Okay? I did not try and kill you. All right? Look, I want us to be friends, you know? Who knows? Maybe we'll be more than friends. You want to lick my beaters?
Patty, let's get serious. I want to be left alone, okay? I'm not doing anything. I'm just taking care of my own self, which is what I should always be doing. And that's it.
Sure. Paul, I understand.
You understand
okay?
me?
I do. I understand. Relax, okay? Why don't you sit down? I'll make a nice cup of coffee.
No, I gotta go. I got a business thing with some guy.
Well, you know, if you get something going, we'd expect some kind of consideration, you know, a little taste.
Nah, this is a legitimate thing. It's different.
Oh, please, Paul, you just give me a chill.
Yeah, we could get over it.
Give me a kiss. Come on, give me a kiss, you. Hey, take care of yourself, huh?
You too.
All right. Don't be a stranger, Paul.
Yeah, I'll see you around.
Eddie, the guy Paul punched, joins Patty.
Watch him like a hawk. It would break my heart, but if he steps out of line, shoot him in the fucking head.
It'll be my pleasure.
An Audi showroom salesman, Paul, shows off a sedan to a nice-looking couple.
Look at the size of that trunk. You could put three bodies in there.
They look up.
Just trying to levitate the situation.
Okay, thank you.
We appreciate it.
Sure, sure. Hey, what kind of car you drive anyway?
It's a Lexus 430 LS.
That's like a Toyota.
It's a Lexus.
Yeah, Toyota, Lexus, same thing. Japanese, right? Let's not forget Pearl Harbor. Anyway, let's get serious. You want to buy this car, what? Yay or nay?
Well, I don't know. We have to think about it.
Yeah. What's there to think about? I mean, you told me you liked it. You asked me 10,000 questions. I answered every single one of them. You drove it. You love it. What more do you need to know?
You know, it's a lot of money, and we just need the time to consider it.
Consider it?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you consider this? You've been breaking my balls for about an hour, asking me about every goddamn accessory in this car.
Look, what about the light? What about this?
You cannot talk to customers like that.
You're not a customer as far as I'm concerned. You want to buy the car or not?
Not from you. I want to see the manager.
You want to see the manager?
Yeah.
Yeah? I'll show you the manager.
Here's the manager. Right here. Here's the manager.
Unbelievable. Come on.
You want to talk to him? What should I do? Throw him out! You hear him? He just said throw him out. He's the boss. What should I get? Tell him to get a Honda! Hey, he just said it. He's the boss.
So tell me, how was your first day?
Good, good, good.
That's great, Paul. That's great. Did you sell any cars?
Paul pouts.
Almost. 6:45.
A restaurant, Paul's maitre d'. There's a queue.
20 minutes. We have been waiting here. 20 minutes.
I only got
minutes.
Two hands. I got the left and the right. And I can slap you with either one. Now get out of here. Now you're a pain in the ass. Come on. Mr. Torrey.
Hey, Paul. Through. Glad you're out.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. My son, Michael.
Hey, Michael. Nice to meet you. I wanted to ask you something.
Yeah?
You think the Yankees are going to go all the way this year?
Well, we'll do our best.
It'd be very important to me personally. You understand? Very important.
Paul tweaks Torres' cheek.
I'll talk to the team.
Bowie.
Ciao. Good to see you. Welcome back.
An older and younger guy enter.
Paul. Hey, Joey.
How are you? I heard you was out.
Yeah, well, you know.
Paul, the table for six is not ready. I'm going to take the four right now. And when Mr. Arnold comes in, bring him right back.
So, what are you doing? You working here?
Well, you know, I'm on parole. Got to be a good boy. You know, I got a piece of the joint. So, you know, what am I going to do? I got to do it.
I get it. We're going to have a check at the
bar. Okay. I'll see you, Joey. Nice to meet you.
As they go, Paul sees Joey glance back, whispering and smirking. Later, Paul poses for a photo with some diners.
Big smiles, everybody.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Hey, can you get us a Pellegrino, a round of drinks, and more bread when you get a chance? Thanks.
You want more bread?
Yeah, bread.
Paul gets a roll.
There you go.
He rams it in the guy's mouth.
This stone's supposed to be a G color. It looks a little yellow, doesn't it?
It's the fluorescent light. That's makes everything look yellow.
No, I thought fluorescent light makes everything look blue.
What am I, Edison? That's a fuck. It's a fluorescent light that's doing that. That's a G.
Well, maybe. Take look from that angle. What do you think?
I don't.
Paul eyes the security guard, then daydreams about taping him up on the shop floor.
Yeah.
Spraying the camera.
Lens? That might help us out.
Do you have a lens?
He eyes the safe, then imagines it exploding.
We just asked for a lens.
Later at home, Ben pulls the Jeep up behind Paul's limo and gets out. Paul and Jelly exit the house.
Hey, where do you think you're going?
Where am I going? The orphanage found my real mother and father. They want me back. I'm going to Jelly's house.
No, you're not. You're not going anywhere. You're in my custody, remember? And we have therapy to do.
For what? The more we talk, the worse I get. Look at me. I'm a fucking wreck. And I had that dream again.
The one with your Mussolini?
No, the other one. You know, I'm 16, you're Freud. And then, yeah. Then I'm scared out of my mind and these giants are coming at me with guns and I'm fighting them off.
Oops. His sword droops.
The limp sword dream.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't be listening to this.
Well, then don't.
Paul.
Sorry.
Let's talk about it.
They sit on the veranda.
You don't think this dream is sexual?
I know what you're thinking. The sword is my cock. I can't get it up. But that ain't it, because I was with Sheila last night. I had a hot on you could fucking swing from.
I don't need to know that.
I mean, you could have hung wet towels on this one. That's
good
how big it was.
Congratulations. It's a nice thing to have.
It's built like a racehorse in that area.
Thank you. I get it. I've seen it.
Hey, wait in the car, you. So what do you think? What's it mean?
Sex can mean a lot of things. I think, Paul, in this case, it's about performance anxiety. You're under a lot of pressure. You're changing your life. You're trying to find a job that fits you.
Yeah, Doc, nothing's gonna fit, though. This 9-to-5 bullshit, forget about it. I'll fucking kill myself. You know they take taxes out of your paycheck? I mean, what the fuck is that? Like, I'm doomed. I mean, I'll wind up selling hot dogs on the street.
Take a deep breath, Paul.
My heart's beating like a fucking rabbit.
Just relax. You're hyperventilating, that's all it is. Breathe into this bag.
Yeah.
And breathe in, and then breathe out. In, out.
This is your fault.
Excuse me?
This is all your fault.
My fault?
You're telling me I gotta get a regular job like I'm a fucking nobody. It's humiliating.
Oh, really, is it? You know what? I'm doing the best that I can, all right? And if it's not appreciated, or if my best isn't good enough for you, then why don't you find somebody else to talk to, okay, you selfish son of a bitch? Because I didn't ask to be born!
Ben's face crumples. He snatches the bag from Paul, puts it over his mouth, and slumps against the wall.
I'm sorry. I'm
grieving. It's a process.
He breathes in the bag, then sits.
That's enough.
Paul snatches the bag and breathes into it as Ben pops a pill.
Now what are you taking?
Echinacea golden seal. Immune system. It's a lot of plants and ticks. Okay. Do you know the television show Little Caesar?
Yeah, I know it.
The producer of the show is a man named Raoul Berman. A mutual friend told him that I know you, so Mr. Berman called me this morning and said that he would like to meet with you.
For what?
I don't know. Why don't you meet him and find out?
Nighttime.
We just got him out of our house. Now we have to have dinner with him? That's not very professional, is it?
It's social. He's meeting a television producer who could give him a job, so he's very nervous about it. And he asked me to buffer, so that's what I'm doing. I'm here to buffer.
He's a grown man. Why does he need a chaperone?
He doesn't. He needs a buffer, and that's me. I'm here in a buffering capacity.
Okay, if you say buffer one more time.
In a car, Agent Miller's with Agent Cerrone, who takes photos.
31, they're all inside. We're going to get something to eat. We'll be back before they finish dinner.
Didn't you just take two of those?
Did I? No, that was the Chinese herb enzyme thing. This is different.
Well, just don't drink anything, probably.
Drink, honey. I'm a doctor. I know what I'm doing.
A dinner with Raoul.
I adore this place. It is the best sushi in town.
Paul sniffs his bowl.
Yeah, it smells good.
Try the yellowtail, Paul.
They got any real food around here? I mean, this is like eating fucking bait.
As Ben laughs, foppish, dark-haired Raoul stares at the smiling Paul.
Well, the very interesting thing about Paul is that he was born without a filter. He has no filter. He said whatever comes through his mind, just out there, he never edits himself.
Hey, what's with you?
What do you mean?
You sound like a fucking retard.
Well, I took a pill. I took an ibuprofen pill. And then I probably shouldn't have the Mai Tai or the sake. Because it interacted and it gave me a little problem with my upper lip. That's all. It began about an hour. That's all.
Will you shut the fuck up?
See that? He just told me to shut the fuck up. I love it. I absolutely love it.
In 2 seconds, I'm going to stick this fork in your fucking eye.
He was sticking a fucking fork in my eye. What did I tell you? Unfolded.
Can I get another one of these, please?
Yes, me too. I'd like a cosmopolitan.
No.
Why not?
Buffer's had too much.
Mr. Berman, I love your show.
Thank you.
And Anthony Bella, the guy that plays Nicky Caesar, he grew up in Bensonhurst, right next door to my cousin's friend's husband.
No. I hate to bust your bubble, babe. There's no way in hell that he's from Bensonhurst. He's like a professional Italian from Connecticut or someplace.
Listen, Paul, I have to ask, would you be interested in working on Little Caesar as a consultant and technical advisor, you know, coaching the actors, making sure the dialogue rings true?
Yeah, whatever.
Oh my God, this is so exciting!
How about a toast? A toast to Paul and Little Caesar.
Bam!
They duck as a young guy in a leather jacket opens fire with a machine gun. Jelly shoots back. The guy scarpers. Later at home.
That restaurant was really good. I liked it up until the attempted whacking. Now is that the right terminology, Mafia shrink?
Sorry.
Do you know that you were muttering and drooling like one of your relatives tonight? What are those pills? What are you taking?
You know, at this point, anything that I can get my hands on, okay? Because I am staring into a big hole that I can't fill up.
Oh, Ben, you don't need this. You don't need this Paul Vitti thing in your life right now, especially not right now. I think you need to be grieving for your father.
It's just, I'm finding the whole thing just a little confusing. I became a therapist because he was a therapist. I mean, it was that easy because his approval was so important to me. I mean, it was everything. And I never really got it. So now I'm thinking, is this the reason I did it? And now that he's gone, I still want to do this. Because I don't know.
Oh, baby. I just want you to be happy.
She kisses him. Jelly loiters in a car park as the leather-jacketed assailant emerges. Hey, he's pistol-whipped. Paul appears and they bundle him away. Later...
I'm going to ask you once. Who are you working for?
I'm working for your mother.
Fuck you.
Fuck me?
Yeah. No, wait.
They dangle him headfirst over the edge of a building.
Who are you working
for? Stop, get me up!
Drop it.
I'm working for Luna Wrench, Mr. Fugazi.
The wrench?
Yeah, the wrench.
Spell his name.
Final letter, spell it. R-I-C-A-C-T, whatever.
You spell his fucking name right, you fucking moron. Pull him up.
Jelly lets go and the guy plummets a few stories onto rubbish bags.
What's the matter with you?
You said drop.
I said pull him back up.
Hey, that ain't what I heard.
Then you heard what you wanted to hear.
Jelly smirks.
You got me there.
Daytime, a black van pulls into a warehouse. The sign above the entrance reads, Ragazzi Plumbing and Heating Supply, Wholesale Retail. Two men drag the injured leather-jacketed guy through a workshop to a back office. Balding-suited Lou the Wrench Ragazzi sits behind a desk sucking a fat cigar. They throw the guy into a chair in front of Ragazzi.
What the hell happened to you?
Vidi threw me off a roof.
Vidi? You talked to Vidi?
Yeah, I talked to Vidi.
What'd you say to him?
Nothing.
You sure didn't tell him anything?
I didn't say anything, Mr. Ragazzi. Can I go now? I think my leg's broken.
That must hurt, huh? Wait a minute. I have something for that.
He pulls out a silenced gun and fires. Impassive, Ragazzi puts the gun away.
I hate to see people in pain. Get him out of here.
His henchmen do.
What about Vidi? He's a hard man to kill. But he's not immortal. Our time will come.
A film studio mock-up of a garden barbecue. It's an episode of Little Caesar. Extras play guests. Caesar talks to a grey-haired guy who's cooking. Smoke swamps them.
Hey, I like my sausage burnt.
I don't know how you like the sausage.
I've been doing this 20 fucking years. You got the money?
I almost got it. I'm still alive, 15 large. But don't worry about it. I got it covered. All I got is... Oh, cut! Cut! Can you do something about the goddamn smoke?
Cut! And can you do something about the damn smoke?
This is the trouble with shooting on location, although it's worth it for the authenticity.
Well, it looks authentic.
Hey, Tony!
Tony. Anthony Bella. Nicky Caesar. This is Paul Vidi.
You don't have to tell me who he is. It's a pleasure to meet you, mate.
Hey, mate. I don't believe this. An English guy. You ain't even Italian.
Australian Italian. There's a lot of paisans down under.
Down under what?
Raoul cracks up at a nonplussed Paul who stares back at him. Raoul points and laughs.
You like the laugh, don't you?
It's a nervous defense mechanism. I don't have to do it if it bothers you. So I'll just...
So, Paul, are you going to join us?
Yeah, I'm thinking I might do that. I like the whole setup here.
Oh, sensational, mate. I can't wait to work with you. I got a lot of questions for you.
All right, mate.
All right? Can we get this fucking shot?
Yes, yes. Paul, thank you. And welcome. Yeah. Welcome aboard.
A couple of things. I don't know who makes these decisions, but there are things that I see that don't look right.
Yes, I sensed this myself. Which elements strike you as wrong?
Well, the people mainly. I mean, you got a boss who speaks Australian. What the fuck is that about?
Not my first choice.
And your background is what?
Theater, mostly.
That figures. I got some people I could bring around that'll add a certain authenticity to the whole thing.
I would be eternally grateful to you if you could. Is there anything else that you would need?
Paul shrugs.
Like one of those trailers like the stars got.
You're done. Done. I am going to go put that in the works right now. Right?
They shake hands and Raoul leaves. Jelly leans over.
You really going to do this?
Yeah, I'm really going to do this. Are you out of your fucking mind? I'm going nuts already with this fucking job thing. In a week, I'll fucking kill this Raoul or I'll kill myself. This is just a good cover until I figure out what I'm going to do. But call the guys.
Later, Jelly leads Paul's real-life posse of gangsters onto set. They swagger between studio trailers, eyeing the actors and crew. They look imposing in their suits and dark jackets. Some wear shirts and ties, others have slicked back hair. All of them look mean and hard-bitten. Jelly and his posse muscle into the queue at the catering van.
Well, you know, there's like a line here.
Yeah, it's embarrassing me. Take the chicken and the two pies.
Supposed to be a thief, to use no stuffy.
A dining table's put outside Paul's trailer. Later, Paul's with star Tony Bella going through the script.
Tell me why I give a shit about your wife's cousin.
Paul ponders.
It's not good?
Yeah, it ain't good.
Paul's men deliver suits and two large televisions to his trailer.
Stevie Wonder sees more shit than you do.
Paul shakes his head.
No?
Never.
It's not good?
Never.
One of the posse delivers a movie camera to Paul's trailer. Later, two sexily dressed ladies are beckoned on board by Jelly.
How much does a chosen snitch want for this?
Paul shakes his head.
No.
Nah.
It's no good.
No good.
Jesus.
He marks the script.
That's the end of the scene.
He rips out a page.
There's no dialogue in the scene.
Better off.
Ben exits a supermarket with two bags of shopping. He stops by his Jeep, dumps the shopping, then pops a pill, unaware of a black stretch limo drawing up behind him. As he washes it down with water, a suited man steps out of the limo. Ben eyes the limo.
Shut up and get in the car, let's go.
The man bundles Ben plus shopping into the limo. Later, Ben, still holding his bags, is presented by Eddie to Mazziello.
Careful, the eggs are on the bottom.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Eddie drops the bags on the floor, then pushes Ben into a chair opposite Mazziello.
You the shrink taking care of Paul Vitti?
Yes, I am.
So is he nuts or what?
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't discuss my patients' cases with anyone.
Discuss it!
He's suffering from a chronic anxiety and...
And what?
It's antisocial personality disorder, sociopathy.
I'm getting a fucking headache here. What are you trying to say?
He has a criminal temperament.
He's a criminal? This is news? And for that you need a doctor degree? So what are you doing for him?
I try to get him to see the possibility of change.
Wrong. You do not want him to change.
That's Mrs. Lopresti.
Patty.
Patty, I'm Ben Sobel.
Patty glares.
Paul Vitti is very important to this family. We don't want to see you turning him into a stromboni.
Stromboni? It's the thing they clean the ice with at the hockey games?
That's a zamboni, asshole. Stromboni.
It's a bull with his balls cut off.
The henchman beside Ben grabs him hard between the legs and squeezes.
No, we don't want to see that happen.
Not unless you want to be one, too.
No. I'm very attached to my balls, as you can probably tell.
The henchman tightens his grip as Ben flails around.
Then do the right thing. Understand?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Patty nods at the henchman, who lets go.
Goodbye.
Ben gets up gingerly, then the henchman extends his hand and Ben flinches.
Our feelings.
No. And probably never again.
On the set of Little Caesar.
I need a grapple or a crane. 50-foot boom, at least.
I see more in Bayonne, but I'll call around.
All right, see what you can do. And we're gonna need a city bus. Anybody got any ideas about that?
I got a guy in the transit authority. He owes me big. Let me know when you want me to call.
Hello, Paul.
Patty, Eddie, and their cronies saunter over.
Nice. Nice to see you.
Patty, how you doing?
Good. I guess everyone's gone Hollywood,
hey,
huh?
Excuse me. This is a close set. We're about to start shooting.
Yeah? So am I. Let's walk. Hey, come on.
I heard you had some more trouble.
Yeah, a little wrench. Took a shot at me.
I don't have to tell you, Paul. Alone on the streets, you don't stand a chance. That's what the family's all about. Since the old days when the grandfathers first came over. I mean, it's not something you just walk away from.
I know. When you're a jet all the way. I know.
What?
Nothing.
So you want to tell me what's going on, Paul? I see you have your whole crew back together.
Nothing's going on. They're actors now.
Don't bullshit me, Paul. I know you're planning something, and I'm feeling a little left out.
Paul looks around.
All right, I'll tell you. Something's going down. You'll get your end. Just let us do what we gotta do. It'll be fine. Okay?
Yeah. You're a good friend, Paul. You know, I would never insist on something like this, but I would feel so much better if you would bring Eddie and a couple of my guys in, you know, to help you with the job.
Eddie, yeah, what?
He's a good man.
Fucking jerk off.
He's young, all right? He's got a lot to learn,
granted. This is crime school. This is a serious thing we're doing here.
Check him out. Talk to Frankie Brush. Talk to Jackie the Jew. He's worked jobs with them before. They'll vouch for him. Paul, please, for me.
Does what I tell him. He stays out of the way, and he keeps his fucking mouth shut.
All right, fine. Thanks, Paul. I really appreciate this.
Oh, God, dear God. Look, sweetheart. Sweetheart, first of all, we're not shooting the hooker scene until tomorrow. And the hair, please. What is it? Something from the cliche store.
Raul. He's a friend of mine. Patty. It's Patty Lowe. This is Raul.
Patty Lowe. Presti. I am so very, very sorry.
An assistant.
Now inform me that Mrs. Lopresti is on the set today. You are fired. Get out. Please enjoy your visit with us. And if there is anything at all that I can do,
go fuck yourself.
Immediately. Immediately.
Raoul scampers off. A black Mercedes parks up outside a studio building. The bespectacled Lou Ragazzi steps out from the back wearing a navy pinstripe suit. He's addressed by his young suited chauffeur.
Should I wait here, Mr. Ragazzi?
No, pull the car up your ass and wait there.
Ragazzi and a couple of grey-haired associates make their way through the studio, passing in front of a trailer, just missing Patty and her cronies as they emerge from behind it. Ben has also arrived. Clambering from his jeep, he catches sight of Patty and ducks behind its open door, pretending to retrieve something from the car. Pulls with Raoul.
Was she angry? Am I in danger?
Don't worry about it. I just wouldn't start my car for a couple of weeks if I were you.
I'll have Brian do it. He's new.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Lou. This is Lou Ragazzi, Lou the Wrench.
Raoul stares.
Brian! Yes, sir. Start my car! Now!
Come on, I want to talk to you. The guy who shot at you, he was acting on his own.
Oh.
I never gave the order.
Yeah?
And he's been taken care of. There won't be another incident. Unless you're thinking of working for Patty Lowe.
Me? No.
Good. Then I got no beef with you.
Oh, good. I can sleep better.
Let me tell you, because that's not the way to go. You want to back a winner, which is going to be me. Okay? It only makes sense. So you come work for me. I'll treat you right.
No, thanks.
So much for sleeping better. You be careful.
Ragazzi pats Paul's cheek.
You pick in Australia, you just pick numbers. You know why? It's an open race.
Jelly.
Hey, Doc.
Hey,
how you doing?
Hey, Doc. How you doing? How are you, fella? How are you, Yo-Yo?
Momo.
Momo. Right. I was thinking of the cellist. Jelly, where's Paul?
He's in his camera.
Yeah.
Ben enters.
Hey, what are you doing here?
What am I doing here? What are you doing here? I came here to tell you that you had a preliminary meeting with your parole officer, and who do I see? Patty Lopresti.
Patty who?
Stop lying to me, Paul. Your whole gang is here.
Well, who says I'm lying? I finally get a straight job. I start getting my life together, and all of a sudden you come in and you start accusing me? That's how much you trust me?
Paul, it's not that I don't trust you. It's just that I don't trust you.
Ah, this is what's so hard about being an ex-con. You make one little mistake in your life and nobody lets you forget it.
Oh, so now you're the victim? Paul, I want the truth.
Wait a second. Say that again.
Say what?
What you just said now. I want the truth.
I said I want the truth.
No, strong like before.
Paul, I want the truth.
That's it. That's good.
What?
No, I'm serious. That had power. I believe you. You could be an actor.
Paul, I am not an actor.
You're better than most of the bums I've seen around here. There's this part. You could do
it. No, Paul, I can't. We have this meeting.
No, we're shooting right now. There's this part. You could do it. I'm telling you, it's you.
Well, I did do Music Man in high school. People thought I was actually quite good.
Jelly, what did...
Jelly dangles Ben by his feet from the roof of a tall building. The film crew watch from below.
Does that screaming sound real to you?
Oh, yeah, that sounds pretty real to me.
Later.
That was not funny. That was not funny at all. There was no safety harness or anything. They could have dropped me.
Hey, if you didn't want to do it, you should have said something.
You said a little scene on the roof. I didn't know they were going to throw me off.
They didn't throw you off. They hung you over the side. That's it. What's the big deal?
Yeah, I know what you're doing, Paul. You're just upset that I have custody of you, so you passive-aggressively arranged for me to look like a fool.
Oh, come on. You were great. You were great.
Second take, I thought, was a little better than the first. Jelly wasn't giving me much, honestly, so I Screw you, Paul. Oh, boy. That's it. Okay.
What are you doing, self-medicating again?
No.
I
And don't give me that decongestant multivitamin bullshit. Come on, what are you doing?
The ginkgo biloba helps my memory and forget what else. But you know what, Paul? Don't worry about me. Worry about what you're going to say to this parole officer. I mean, what are you going to tell him? That you left my house? That you got your gang back together? And for what? A high school dropout reunion?
You recognize that car?
Which car?
The one that's been following us for the last couple of miles.
That? Oh, yeah. I know that car. That's a Mercedes S500. That is one sweet machine. It's an 8, or it comes in a 12, which is a beast.
Lose him.
What?
Lose him.
What do you mean, lose him?
Lose him.
Lose that car? You can't lose.
Paul stamps on the accelerator, squashing Ben's foot. Ben turns sharp left. The Mercedes follows.
I'm just gonna stop, Paul. I'm just gonna stop.
This could be the FBI.
The FBI's two cars back. You gotta be more observant, Doc. Left.
The Jeep swings round a corner. The Mercedes swerves left, followed by a black Ford saloon.
I'm gonna pull over. They're not gonna shoot us. It's broad daylight.
Broad daylight's the best time. They can see better. Right, right.
Ben swings into the road, swerves round the car, and heads for a cash machine on a forecourt. Ben's Jeep smashes it apart, sending dollar notes spiraling into the air. People leap amongst the blizzard of money, blocking the path of the Ford. Ben speeds past a parked police car. The officers jump in. The Mercedes flies onto the highway as the squad cars give chase. Inside the Jeep...
This is a lease!
Gunfire.
It's a goddamn lease!
Move over, I'll drive.
Where? Move over, where?
Get it back, Steve, back, Steve. Sick bastard. Take it off.
Paul holds the wheel as Ben scrambles into the back. Paul clambers into the driver's seat and steers into a factory complex, smashing an entrance gate. The Mercedes right behind.
Buckle up. It's gonna get worse.
Yeah, Ben ain't gonna get better.
Paul drives through a warehouse, the Mercedes close behind. Ben throws things out of the broken rear window of the Jeep.
Stop it!
A bag of shopping, then a set of golf clubs tumble onto the road. Ben throws a broadsheet newspaper which lands on the windscreen of the Mercedes. View from the window's obscured and the Mercedes bolts off a quayside into a river. The vehicle bobs vertically out of the water, then begins to sink. Ben and Paul jump from the Jeep and hurry to the quayside, where Ben watches the submerging vehicle, looking dismayed.
Oh. Oh. Oh my God. You think they're gonna get out?
Yeah, that's James Bond and that Sea Hunt guy, so they got a pretty good shot.
Oh, I feel bad. Where are you going?
I gotta take care of this.
Paul, your parole officer.
Send him my regards.
Paul, I'm warning you, if you leave now.
Come on, Doc.
That's it. You're on your own now, pal. That's it. I'm done. I'm screwed.
Ben stares resigned as a fleet of squad cars arrive on the scene. Later, Ben watches frogmen dive from a dinghy into the river. Attorney Chapin arrives.
Where is he, Doctor?
I wish I knew.
Well, considering I released him into your custody, that's not quite the answer I was looking for.
They walk together.
Well, he's got something big in the works. Do you care to tell me what you know?
I don't know anything. And I really feel he's making an effort to go straight.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
That's why we got two corpses in the bottom of the river.
Some photos.
Here. Vidi with Sal Mazziello. Vidi with Patty Lopresti. Vidi with Eddie Duvall. Let me know. I can order you some wallet size.
He takes them back.
I've given you 24 hours to find him and deliver him to me. Otherwise, you're looking at obstruction of justice and accessory to manslaughter.
Ben looks deflated as Chapin clambers into his car.
Can I go?
Sure, but you can't take your car. We're impounding it as evidence.
Can I get a ride?
Have a nice day.
Chapin drives off. In his trailer, Paul packs a bag.
Fine. They're probably gonna come looking for me, so we'll go over everything at the club, okay?
Right. Paul, not that I'm questioning or anything. But what do we need with this Eddie Duvall? The guy is like a Patty Larceny scumbag.
Hey, I ain't happy about it either. But if it keeps Patty off my back, so be it. Yeah!
Mr. Vidi? Mr. Bell asked if he can meet him in the makeup trailer.
Yeah, gotta go.
He said it's important.
I'll talk to him tomorrow. Here. Tell him you never saw me, okay?
He hands the runner some cash. Tony leans out of his trailer.
Oh. Excellent, mate. Come here, please.
I can't talk right now, mate.
No, mate. I've got to ask you a question. Very important. 2 seconds. Come on, please.
I got to...
Come on.
Can we do it later?
Please, come on. It's very important. Paul, I'm looking for something to do when my character finds out he's being indicted, and I was thinking of punching a wall. But I did that when they killed Uncle Lenny, and I punched a car. Actually, it was a van when Peasy screwed up the big drug deal. So I'm looking for something different. this time. Something that doesn't involve, you know, punching anything.
Kick something. Let me know how it works out. I gotta go.
You know what, Paul? Wait. That's really interesting. Kick what?
I don't know. Like, to kick a guy in the face.
Who?
Anybody. Just some guy. You knock him down, you give him a couple of good shots in the head, and you walk away. I gotta go.
Why?
Why? Why not? You're pissed off, he's there. I got friends waiting for me. I gotta go.
You know, mate, my character wouldn't do that. What else you got?
I don't know. You could yell real loud.
I could yell real loud. Oh, that's really original.
Well, shut your fucking mouth. What do I give a fuck what you do? I gotta go.
Just shut your fucking mouth. I don't care what you do. I gotta go.
What'd you say?
What'd you say?
Wait, what are you doing?
Wait, what are you doing?
All right, you can cut that shit out right now.
All right, you can cut that shit out right now.
Tony flies out of the trailer door.
That was bloody great! My character could do that!
His nose dribbling blood, Tony sits up grinning. A turquoise taxicab pulls up in Ben's driveway.
Thank you.
Ben marches up to a big guy bending over Paul's limo.
Jelly. Where's Paul?
It's Ben's son.
What are you doing?
I'm working for Mr. Vitti. Yeah, I'm his driver now.
Oh, no, Michael, you are not doing that, sorry.
What, you keep telling me to get a job?
Yeah, making sandwiches at the Subway, not driving a getaway car.
Dad.
You know, I know Dad about this. He should have spoken to me before he spoke to you. All right, where is he?
I cannot give you that information.
You cannot give me that information?
Look, I promise not to repeat anything I heard in the car, okay? I took an oath.
You took an oath? Was there blood involved?
Ben? What happened? Where were you?
I'm gonna tell you the truth. I was involved in a high-speed car chase.
What?
My car was totally shot out, and the men who were chasing us went into the river and they probably drowned.
Oh, my God!
It's not as bad as it sounds.
When is this all gonna end?
Tonight. I just have to find him.
Why? A few days ago, you weren't even sure you still wanted to be a therapist.
Honey, I have to finish this. I have to. Understand?
Laura gives a reluctant nod.
Go. Just don't get shot.
Okay.
Please.
Hey, Clemenza. Where is he?
I can't.
Oh, you are gonna tell your father right now, or so help me God, I'm gonna kick the ever-loving shit out of you.
Little darlings, okay? It's a club in Queens.
Give me the keys to the car.
Dad, I'm responsible for the town car.
Give me the fucking keys!
Take my car.
Okay. Here. Thank you. Bye.
Michael hands over his keys and Ben rushes off. Nighttime and Ben drives Michael's small hatchback along a city street and pulls up outside a club with a scarlet red facade. Ben clambers out and heads for the club. Inside the crowded club, a blonde dancer in black knickers and a bikini top struts around on stage as Jelly watches. Ben enters and looks around. He pushes through the crowd to meet Jelly, who's slipping money into the dancer's knickers.
Hey, Doc, what are you doing here?
With Paul.
At the dancer.
He likes you.
I have to talk to Paul.
Give a few dollars.
The dancer crouches and smiles as Ben fishes around for a note.
We have a 20, so could I get change? 10, 5 singles.
With these. Great.
Thank you.
He slips the 20 into her knickers. She bends forwards and smothers his head with her boobs.
Thank you very much.
She pulls back, glasses askew, he peers up at her.
Listen, this is my meter money. I don't have any more bills, so...
He pours coins into her knickers.
Where's Jelly?
A guy beside him gestures. Ben turns and sees Jelly, Paul, and another guy sitting on a red sofa. Ben scuttles over.
What are you doing?
What do you want on my door? Blown off a little steam. What's a big deal?
Yeah.
Here he is. How's it going, Paulie?
It's going all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know my guys? You know Miss Bobby and Al Pacino?
Al Pacino? That's your real name?
No. They call me that because I look like Al Pacino.
Oh.
The actor.
Anybody ever call you Carol Burnett?
Why?
Because you look as much like Carol Burnett as you do Al Pacino.
Ben stares at Al.
What are you looking at?
I actually see it. Like right through here. It's very much Pacino.
Hoo-ah!
Eddie shifts awkwardly.
We're all here. We're all here.
Let's do this, all right?
Let's do what?
Let's go.
Let's do what?
Let's go.
They get up.
You're telling me something.
Better get out of here.
You're not telling me something. I want to know what's going on. I'm not leaving till you tell me what's going on.
Get the fuck out of here. You're going to get hurt.
Ben blinks in surprise as he watches Paul and his comrades disappear down a corridor at the rear of the club. Ben curls his lips and, with a look of determination, follows them. He trots to the red, neon-lit corridor and peers cautiously round the corner and hovers nervously by the wall. Ben heads off along the corridor.
Okay, this is big, and we only got one shot at it, and there's about a million ways this fucking thing can go wrong. So everybody listen carefully. The Federal Gold Depository in downtown Manhattan. 3 times a year, a shipment of gold bars goes in a heavily guarded armored truck from the depository to a vault in the Federal Reserve, the hold for foreign governments to trade in gold bullion. 3 o'clock in the morning, about 8 hours from now, we're gonna hijack that truck.
Listening outside the room, Ben's grabbed by Bobby and slammed against the door. Bobby opens the door and dumps Ben on the floor.
What the fuck is this?
Who's listening by the door?
Ben gets up.
Hi, guys.
Get rid of him.
All right, Carol. You're a dead man.
Hey,
so let's
put
go.
The gun down. Put the fucking gun down.
Put the fucking gun down, okay? What are you doing?
What do you think? He can make every guy in this room.
Just keep your fucking hands off him. He's with me.
Yeah? What? On the job?
You're gonna start that yeah what bullshit with me again?
Listen, either he's in or he's dead. Which is it?
I think Ken is better. If I had a vote, I would vote in.
He's in. He's my responsibility.
Okay. No more surprises. And from this moment on, no one leaves my sight. Got it?
Later.
Is this bulletproof?
You better hope so. See if it fits under your shirt.
I could fit you under my shirt. Do you have anything smaller?
What are we, Bloomingdale's? Hey, nobody knew you were coming down. You're lucky to be alive, you know.
We're all gonna be lucky to be alive. This plan is crazy. It's stupid.
Hey, 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 watch it. Crazy, but not stupid. You want to stay alive, you do everything I tell you, keep your mouth shut, and try not to pee your pants. You handle an M16?
You mean shoot it?
No, twirl it like a fucking baton. AK?
No.
Kalashnikov.
Jelly.
You just stop me when something hits your fancy.
Can't I just use that?
Oh. He points to a pistol.
This brings back fond memories.
Pointing at Ben.
This isn't in good health.
Thanks.
Jelly hands him the pistol. Ben stuffs it down the front of his trousers. It slips down one of the legs. Ben squirms, trying to retrieve it. As Ben fumbles around, Paul steps out of a stationary coach and approaches Jelly.
You better talk to the doc. I think he's caving in.
Writhing, Ben shakes the pistol out of the leg of his trousers. Ben picks it up. Paul strolls over.
You okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm great.
If we can, I'm gonna get you out of here before the real shit goes down. Just don't flip out on me, okay?
Great.
Large wire gates to an old brick warehouse slide open. A sign reads Dead End Street. Two lorries trundle out through the gates, their white headlamps shining. They're followed by a white coach. Paul, Jelly, Ben, Eddie and his cohorts rock around inside one of the lorries. Lights strung along the length of a bridge. The Manhattan skyline twinkles behind it. Eddie, Bobby, Al and other members of Paul's gang stand at the base of a huge crane, eyes cast anxiously upwards. Paul stands with Ben, consulting his watch, as a convoy of armored trucks rounds the corner in the road ahead. The trucks approach.
Big mistake.
Stay here.
Go, 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 go.
Paul's got a walkie-talkie. On the road, a yellow juggernaut carrying a JCB blocks the path of the white bullion truck and the two black security vans. A cop.
Are you fucking kidding me? Move the truck!
The driver flees.
Where you go?
A smoke canister's chucked into the road.
It's a setup!
Balaclavaed gangsters appear over the high wall and chuck canisters at the armored trucks. Smoke fills the air. Armed, helmeted police guards jump from the black trucks and stumble about in confusion as the smoke engulfs them.
On my command, get the drivers back in the truck. You're gonna take the rear, I'm gonna take the point. We're gonna back these fuckers out of here.
The white truck rises.
They're lifting the truck! They're lifting the fucking truck!
Guards grab hold.
Bitch!
As the armored white bullion truck lifts higher, the hanging guards lose their grip and fall. Two are left clinging on desperately. The chief police guard stares up as the truck swings over the top of the high wall.
You've got to be fucking kidding me!
On the other side of the wall, Paul dons a black balaclava. Ben watches as the crane lowers the armored truck to the ground. The two dangling police guards let go and drop safely onto the gravel. They're immediately set on by Paul's men. Ben watches as Paul heads for the truck.
Too late, Paul. You don't have to do this. Let's go.
Ben pulls his balaclava on the wrong way and slams into a girder. Flat on his back, he peels up his balaclava.
What a day for my balls.
Open the fucking door.
The truck touches down. A guard is pulled from it.
Where's the key? The fucking keys? The monster's got the keys at the bank.
The balaclavaed gangsters drag another guard from the white bullion truck and shove him and his colleagues into a nearby trailer. The white coach arrives as a blowtorch is ignited at the back of the bullion truck. Over the wall, the police.
Get the wall! You climb the wall!
The blowtorch cuts as the police chief's men attempt to scale the wall.
Guys, get up on the wall! Get the gate! Move! Move! Move!
They're using suckers on the truck door. They drag it away, revealing the stash of gold bullion. Paul and Eddie remove their balaclavas.
You know, this might just fucking work.
Go, go, go! Go, get over the wall! Come on!
As the chief's men reach the top of the wall, the gangsters open fire. Bullets ricochet as the guards duck down.
Move, move, move! Over the wall! Get over the goddamn wall!
Get over the fucking wall!
The gangsters unload the bullion, sliding the ingots down the conveyor. They stack them under a floor panel in the coach.
50 bars. 50 bars is all we need. 50 bars. Come on, let's go.
How much is that? 350 an ounce, 16 ounces to a pound, 90 pounds to a bar. Do the math.
22,995,000.
What?
Give or take.
The compound gates. A guard truck rams them.
Bobby, Bobby, move up the payload. Come on.
So much for not peeing in my pants.
The guard truck reverses, then rams the gate again. On the other side, the gangsters position a digger against the gate, its huge bucket acting as a brace. Eddie shouts to Paul.
That's 50. All right, pack it up.
Come on, let's go. Move it out. Let's get out of here. Come on, Paul. Moving out.
Paul, remember what you said about not flipping out?
Yeah?
Sorry.
What have I done? I had a perfect life and I threw it away!
Come on.
I'm going to prison. That'll be bad. I have delicate features. I'm small. I'm going to be way too popular.
You gotta calm down.
I can't calm down. I'm going to die.
Calm down.
I can't breathe.
For Christ's sake, get hold of yourself.
I can't. We're going to die.
You're not going to die.
We are. We're all going to die.
Ben slaps shocked Paul round the face.
You feel better now?
This is all my fault. I wanted to be there for you. I really wanted to help you. But I couldn't because I'm not good enough. Ever since my father died, I lost my way. I didn't think this was going to hit me this hard.
Ben moves away.
Paul, now I know how you felt when your father was killed.
We don't have time for this.
But it was.
No, I'm telling you, I'm warning. Don't do this.
Paul, it was 10 times worse for you.
Don't do this.
Because he was killed right in front of you.
I'm warning you.
He was just a little kid.
Don't go there.
It's so sad.
Don't go there. I'm telling you.
All of his dreams for you died with
him. There I go. Yabby, no.
He loved you, Paul. He really
loved you. I know
he
did. I loved him so.
They embrace. Jelly appears. They part. Paul wipes his eyes and Ben waves. Hearing the crash, they exchange a nervous look and rush back to the coach. Eddie steps out with a gun and presses it into Paul's chest, pushing him back.
Did you really think you were going to live through this?
Bobby and Al hold the rest at gunpoint.
Yeah, I had my hopes. Well, nice work. Mr. Ragazzi will be very grateful.
Ragazzi? I thought he worked for Patty LaPresti.
Ah, that's what Patty thought, too. But this scumbag's been playing both sides against the middle.
There's only one side, as far as I'm concerned. Mine. What did you think? I was just gonna stand by and let some fucking broken-down valise like you move back in? So long, Mr. Vitti.
Ben thumps Eddie. Paul's men overpower Bobby and Al. Ben floors Eddie with another punch, then grabs his collars.
I can't take it anymore! That's what I hate about you fucking sociopaths! You keep changing the rules to suit yourself! Well, not this time, you antisocial misfit piece of shit! This time, you fuck with the wrong shrink. You want a fresh one?
Eddie's out cold. Ben targets him with his pistol.
The session is over.
Ben looks over at Paul and Jelly, who give him the thumbs up. The security truck rams the gate. Eddie, Al, and Bobby in the bullion truck.
Take him up and leave him there.
Nice go. Take him up. Good plan.
Shut up.
Bye.
Yeah, what?
What's a sociopath?
I don't know.
Somebody! Come on, help us out here.
Down the street, more armed security guards.
This way! Come on! Don't get away! Come on!
Let's go!
This way!
The chief leads his men down the street. Rounding a corner, they come across two men behind a car shooting at a police barricade. Suddenly, another car careers onto the scene, ramming into the first one. Two other gangsters run in, firing their weapons. The chief fires.
Drop your fucking gun!
It's Tony.
Drop your weapons now!
Who the hell is this?
Cut!
Raul!
What the hell is going on?
Drop your fucking guns! Nobody move!
Raul! Look, if you're gonna change the script, you have to tell us!
Who are these people? What are they doing in my shop?
What are you doing on my street?
I have a permit!
Take your permit, stick up your ass!
Oh, my friend, you
release
are...
traffic, you please. Release traffic.
This is like a bloody Chinese fire drill!
Got to go!
Oh. A fake blood pouch explodes.
You are in trouble.
You are going to be in federal
prison. This is
prison.
Another
oh, prison.
You think I'm powerless?
I've had enough of this. I'm going back to my trailer.
You got
I'm bleeding.
Move these cars, goddamn you.
You please be quiet. I'm trying to think.
As Director Raoul and the chief argue, the gangster's white getaway coach passes them, driven by Jelly. Three helmeted guards stop the coach. Jelly opens the doors and the guards file on.
Problem, officer.
Shut up and keep your hands where I can see them.
That's it. We're screwed. So screwed.
The armed guards walk up the aisle, studying the faces of Paul's mob, who sit either side.
Yo!
Me?
They remove their helmets. They're gang members.
All right, my mob!
The other men in the bus crack up. Ben nods tersely, pursing his lips. He looks over at the grinning Paul. As the coach heads on its way, Paul and Ben sit in silence. Ben regards Paul disapprovingly.
Feeling pretty good, huh?
Yeah, feeling pretty good.
What are you thinking? I mean, what's next? What do? You go on the run for the rest of your life? Or do you just go back to Sing Sing? Or maybe they just find you dead in an alley. How does this work now?
Those are my choices. Hey, Doc, can't you let me enjoy this for 5 fucking minutes? Must you always be a fucking killjoy?
5 minutes?
5 minutes.
Okay, 5 minutes.
They stare ahead.
And then what?
And then what? And then you'll see. What?
I'll see.
Paul stares stoically in front of him, arms folded. Ben eyes him quizzically. An aerial view over the Manhattan skyline. A concrete jungle sprawling with tower blocks and apartment buildings.
EN News Time, 8:06, 72 degrees. A quick resolution to last night's spectacular armored car hijacking. FBI agents, acting on a tip from an unnamed source, raided the Regazzi Plumbing Company early this morning and recovered the 50 gold bars stolen in the daring robbery. Arrested in the raid were reputed crime family boss Louis the Wrench Regazzi and 11 other high-ranking Regazzi family associates. The rest of the stolen bullion was recovered at the crime scene, along with three high-flying hijackers, apparently stranded by a mechanic.
Now, as a result, organized crime has been dealt another serious blow. And I am happy to report to the people of New York and to the entire nation that this great city is today a safer place to live and work. Questions?
Daytime, Jelly and Paul stroll along the quayside boardwalk overlooking the East River. Ben, further down the quay, waves to them. Jelly lingers behind as Paul continues over to Ben.
Did you see Patty?
Yeah, I saw her.
You gonna be okay?
That's okay. She's just glad the wrench is out of the way, that's all.
Good. I spoke to the U.S. attorney.
Yeah, what'd he say?
And he's very happy about the gold, and he said he won't come after you, Paul. But you gotta stay out of trouble.
Fuck him.
Ben laughs.
So one big happy ending, right?
Come on, you gotta admit you feel better,
yeah,
don't
I
you?
Yeah, I feel better, sure. $20 million down the drain, why shouldn't I feel better?
You're grieving, Paul.
It's a process. I know.
It's not easy, but you gotta know you did the right thing.
You too, Doc.
Wow.
You hung in there, took a lot of balls.
I did what I had
to.
You
were an animal. No. You were a monster. I seen the beast in you.
A lot of misplaced aggression, that's all.
Hey, listen, I'm gonna send you after people that I don't like. Give them a little psychology, then beat them up.
Ben smiles, then looks down ruefully. Paul nods at Ben, his smile fading as well.
Thank you, Doc.
You don't have to thank me, Paul.
You helped me out a lot.
Paul points at Ben.
You're good, you.
Yes,
you are. No. You're very, very good. You got a gift, my friend. I'm telling you. You got a gift.
All right, I have a gift.
Paul nods, then opens his arms for a hug with Ben.
Okay,
thanks.
Okay, Doc.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
I'll see you.
All right.
They part, and Paul heads back along the boardwalk towards Jelly. Ben leans on the railing and contemplates the view.
There's a place for us, a time and place for us.
Hold my hand, and we're halfway there.
Hold my hand, and I'll take you there.
With a final wave, Paul and Jelly walk away along the boardwalk, the milky sunlight swathing the river in a warm glow. Ben, leaning on the railing, watches them disappear into the distance. A flashback sequence. Paul, a little apple-cheeked boy in his cowboy outfit, complete with Stetson tied under his chin, red shirt and toy gun, sits happily on top of a horse, being led away by his proud, smiling father. The end. ITFC audio description.